Okay, so last week we discussed the halachos that change over time, changing circumstances. Sounded like a little more of an exciting type of topic, but probably less halacha lemaisa than this week's topic. It happens to be, I thought I was so clever coming up with nine different halachos that change over time. Someone emailed me a list of 35 different halachos. So I thought of a few more, and he had a whole list. I didn't agree with every single one of them, but most of them he was very good. Okay, and I just thought of another one or two that he didn't even mention on that list. But moving on to a new topic. Generally speaking, over the past number of years, this year has been dedicated to halachic topics that somehow relate to recent or upcoming Daf Yomi. The end of Nazir has been a little rough in terms of halachic topics that are relevant, but all the way at the end of Nazir and Daf Samach Vav, which we were just Masayim today, and Daf Samach Vav, it seems to touch on something that is a halachic topic. If you look in source number 3, we'll start with that. The Gemara had previously said on Amud Aleph, someone else told his son, Chatov Vrich, that a person should always try to grab to say the bracha, to try to be the one to say the bracha, meaning jump the line and be the person to be able to recite a bracha. If only one person in a group is going to say a bracha, it should be you. So says the Gemara, the Memra de Mevarich Adif. Does that mean to suggest that it's better to be the one to recite the bracha rather than be the person that answers amen to the bracha? V'atanya, we have a brayser, Rabbi Yossi Amar Gadol La'ona Amen, Yossi Mina Mevarich. That it's better to answer amen. Answering amen is Gadol than the Mevarich. So how can you say that how can one advise his child to go grab a bracha, say the bracha, not to be the guy answering amen? V'amalei Rav Nuraya Shemayim Kachu, and Rav Nuraya says, yes, that's absolutely true. Teda Sharei Gulyarim Miskarim B'Melcham V'Gibarim Notzchin. Think about how it happens when an army goes into battle. You have the weaklings in the front that sort of soften it up a little bit, but then the Giborim come and they finish the job and they really take control of the situation. So don't you see from there that the Giborim, the one who cleans it up in the end, that's the real, that's the one that deserves all the credit. So you see that answering amen is really much better. So the Gemara is really stuck with this question now. The Gemara says, well, what's the story? How can we have Gedolei Amoraim advising their son, Chatov Vrich, you should go and grab a bracha and be the one to say the bracha, and yet we have other indications that it's much better to say amen than to say a bracha? Answers the Gemara, Tanaihi, Tzmachlokas. Titania, Echram Varif Echra Amen Vahona Amen Bimashma, El Shimar and the Mvarik Tchila. You can bring me all the braces you want about how it's better to say Amen. I'll show you another braces that says that it's better to be the Mvarich. So you can't really ask any questions. It's simply a machlokas tanaim. So where does that leave us exactly? That it's machlokas tanaim, whether it's better to say amen or better to say the bracha. Now this is not the only source in Shas where this comes up. First of all, this entire Gemara, word for word, appears in Maseches Brachos as well, but it's a little bit more elaborate in Maseches Brachos. Maseches Brachos, the Mishnah tells us at the end of a long Mishnah over there in Brachos Taf and Aleph and Beis. That was not a very long mission, but it sort of shifts gears at the end of the mission. The mission says, "Va'onin amein acher Yisrael hamavarich." One is supposed to say amen after a Jew makes a bracha. "Ve'enon amein acher kuti hamavarich," but we don't say an amen after a kuti makes a bracha. "Ad sheyish makala bracha kula." Kutim were suspected of having beliefs that were not right. And therefore, you have to be suspicious that the bracha is not going to be a proper bracha. So if you hear the entire bracha and you know that he's saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, so he's being mevarich properly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then you can answer amen if you hear the entire bracha. But if you don't hear the entire bracha, one needs to be suspicious. Now notice, the Mishnah never says anything about a guy. It says Yisrael, it says a kuti, never talks about stam a guy. So, and kutim also had a different status throughout history. That at first they were accepted as gerim, but then they were discovered that they weren't gerim, so they were sort of rejected. So it's not clear in the Mishnah at what stage we're talking about akuti amivarech. But if you look in that Gemara, the Gemara says the meimra di Yisrael afakav delosha makula bracha ona. That you see from here that the fact that it says when akuti says a bracha, you have to make sure to hear the whole thing. The implication is when a Yisrael says a bracha, you don't have to hear the whole thing. Frak the Gemara b'chilosha mehechi nafik. How could you be Yotze if you didn't hear the whole bracha? Sam ruchia barav b'shalo achalimayin. No, we're not talking about where you need that bracha. If you need the bracha for yourself to be Yotze, then obviously there's an element of Shomei HaKa'ona. So clearly you would need to hear the entire bracha. That's why we recommend when we're making the brachas, for example, by Tkia Shofar. So they only make like two announcements. Number one, everyone should not talk between now and the end of Musaf because this bracha is going on all the Tkios. Good advice, nice thing to do. Number two, we say everyone should have in mind to be Yotze the bracha with the Tokeo who's going to be making the bracha. And the third thing they announce is don't say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema. So why don't you say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema? Well, there are two reasons not to say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema in that bracha. There are some that don't say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema at all in any bracha. The Gra held that any time you're not allowed to talk in the middle of a bracha, you can't say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema. You're not allowed to be mafsik. So the Gra held that, for example, by the brachas of Chazaras Hashatz, one is not allowed to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. So the Gra held not to say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema during Chazaras Hashatz. Minhag seems not that way. That those who are responsive and awake during Chazaras Hashatz typically do say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema along with an Amen after each bracha. But so one reason not to say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema is simply that you don't want to be mafsik in the middle of the bracha. If you want to be makbid for that shita of the Gra, not to be mafsik in the middle of the bracha. But there's another reason not to say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shema. If the tokea doesn't pause long enough for you to say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shemo, and you say Baruch Hu V'Arach Shemo, you're going to miss some of the words of the bracha. And you need that bracha, Shomei HaKohanim, you need to actually hear the entire bracha. So when you need the bracha, when you're being yotze with the bracha, there's no question you're supposed to hear the whole bracha, whether it's a kuti saying the bracha, a Jew saying the bracha, well, kuti wouldn't be motzi, but a Jew saying the bracha, you would have to hear the whole bracha. When you're not being yotze with the bracha, you just hear someone saying a bracha on an apple. You're not eating an apple, he's eating an apple. You want to answer amen to the bracha. So then you don't have to hear the whole bracha from a Jew. And that's what the Gemara explains over here. V'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Arvua b'shalach alimayim. Amalei Rav l'chi abrei. Then the Gemara goes into the whole story that it has in Maseches Nazir that we just read, that a few of the Gedolei Amoraim would recommend that that their children say the bracha and not be the guy that answers amen. Gemara says, aye, but answering amen is better. Gemara leaves it as a machlokas tanaim and does not resolve the machlokas tanaim, leaves it as a machlokas tanaim, and then the Gemara brachos adds in one more thing about amen. Boimnei Shmuel me Rav. Shmuel asks Rav the following. This is toward the end of source number two. Ma'u lanus amen achar tinoko shel beis Rabban. Are you allowed to answer amen when children say brachos? So for many people, it's the only time they answer amen in brachos because who else says brachos out loud? Only children say brachos out loud. So are you allowed to answer amen when children say brachos? A lot of the schools have programs where the children are supposed to say the brachos out loud. Amen has really had a rejuvenation over the last number of years, the last few years, where they have amen groups and they have amen contests and saying brachos out loud. So the Gemara says, is that okay? Is it okay to answer amen to the bracha of a child? Amar lei, achra kol onin amen, chutz mi tinoka shel beis Rabban. Holu the slamid asuyin. He says the answer is somewhat surprising. The Gemara says you can answer amen to anybody, but not tinoka shel beis Rabban. They're just learning. You don't answer amen to tinoka shel beis Rabban. Vani mili b'deloi den miftarayu al b'den miftarayu onin. So we have to see exactly what that means. What exactly is this with tinoka shel beis Rabban? We do say amen. We don't say amen. So a number of issues to deal with. So again, first of all, we never resolved, is it better to say the bracha or is it better to answer amen? Second of all, we would need to explain why. Why would saying amen be better than the bracha? The bracha, you're saying the whole bracha. Amen is, yeah, right on, I agree. Meaning, why is that, I affirm or I agree, better than the actual bracha itself? We would also need to discuss whether this discussion of amen better or the bracha better is true of all brachos or only certain types of brachos. And then we're going to have to talk about just the requirement of amen in general and when should one not answer amen. What are the exceptions where a person specifically doesn't answer amen to certain brachos? So that's the basic outline of what we're going to try to do. So let's start with the discussion of just which is better. So it's very interesting. We just saw how our Gemara in Nazir has these three lines, these few lines at the very end of the Masechta, and word for word, those lines are repeated in Masechas Brachos. Apparently, the Chachmas Manoach in Masechas Brachos didn't have this girsa in Masechas Brachos. He had it just that the Gemara asked Akasha. The Gemara asked, how can you say that it's better to say a bracha? Don't we have a baisa that it's better to say a main? And in his version of Masechas Brachos, the Gemara never answered Tanayhi. It never answered that it's a Machlokas Tanayhi. Now, in everyone's version of Maseches Nazir, the Gemara does answer Tanayhi. He does say it's a Machlokas Tanayhi. In our version of Maseches Brachos, the Gemara does say it's a Machlokas Tanayhi. Chachmas Menach didn't have such an answer that it's a Machlokas Tanayhi, and therefore he came up with his own answers, which is unusual. Usually when the Gemara gives an answer to a question, Achronim don't say, V'od yesh lomar, you know, that I also have what to say. That's what the Chazal of the expression, Yehuda V'od Lekra, that the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, the first part of Maseches Kiddushin, tells us that there's a raya to a certain din from a pasuk. And not only that, in the town of Yehuda, they did this also. So the Gemara says, Yehuda V'od Lekra, you have a pasuk and you're going to say, V'od yesh lomar, what they did in Yehuda. Doesn't make any sense. There's nothing stronger than the pasuk. So it's very odd that a Gemara answers the question, and then the Nachron comes along and says, oh, V'od yesh lomar. So the but Chachmas Menach didn't have that girsa, and therefore he felt entitled to say V'od yesh lomar. So he gave two V'od yesh lomars. He said, first of all, it could be that the bracha is of course more powerful than the Amen. It's longer, it's the primary statement of what you're trying to say. Amen is just the affirmation, but Amen completes it. So it's like the midget standing on the shoulders of giants, that the giant is much taller than the midget, but the midget could reach higher standing on the shoulders of giants. So the Amen, Gadol, Ona Amen Yosmin Amavarech, he's Gadol, he reaches a little bit higher, but only on the shoulders of the bracha. Without the bracha, the Ona Amen wouldn't have accomplished anything. But the Mevarech on his own, if you were to view it independently, the Mevarech on his own certainly accomplished more. And he also says that another possibility, that a person who says the bracha and someone answers amen to your bracha gets two zechus. He has the zechus of saying the bracha and the zechus of being goreim anias amen, that he caused someone else to answer amen. Whereas the guy that says amen only has one zechus of answering amen. So he says, davar pashut, that the mevarech is in a better position, and that's why the Amoraim told their children, chatov v'brich, you be the one to make the bracha. What does it mean, gadol on amen yosem in a mevarech? That means that if no one answers amen to the mevarech's bracha, then a guy who answers amen, if you have two situations, one situation where someone said a bracha and someone answered amen, and somewhere else in the world, the guy was saying a bracha privately in his own house where no one heard him. So the guy who says a bracha privately in his own house, no one heard him, has not done as great a thing as the person who answered amen to someone's bracha. Meaning that we take it literally, that the ona amen is greater than the mevarech, but that's only if the mevarech didn't have an ona amen. But if the mevarech had someone to answer amen, then that would be better. And then the Chachmas Menach says, you know, it's funny. The Gemara in Nazir actually says that it's a machlokas tanaim, and that's how it answers the question. I can't understand why they didn't give my answers. I thought my answers were very, very good. That's how the Chachmas Menach deals with this issue. So it's, again, a little bit odd. We have three answers to the question of which one is greater. One is that it's machlokas tanaim, and then we have the Chachmas Menach's two additional suggestions. Now, what would the svara be that amen, answering amen is better than saying the bracha? So the Meiri has a very surprising insight. The Meiri on the bottom of page 2, Meiri often has surprising things, but over here, usually in a different way. Usually the Meiri just, you know, has a different way of viewing the sugya. We'll look at it from a completely different perspective than most of the other Rishonim. Over here it's just surprising psychologically in terms of whether is this really the Metzius, what he describes over here. In the bottom of page 2 in source number 4, Ha'ona amein achar mevarech harehu kimi shebirech kol shekiven l'shma sabracha. A guy who says amen, it's as if he said the bracha, as long as he had kavana. V'lo od el sharov pa'amim kavanas hamata ozen l'shmoa gedola yoser mi kavanas hamedaber. He says most of the time, someone listening to the bracha has greater kavana than the one saying the bracha. V'al smach ze amru gedola ona amen yoser mina mevarech. He says that's what they mean when they say gadol ona amen yoser mina mevarech. It's not really better to say amen than to be mevarech. If kavana is equal across the board, the guy saying the bracha, the guy answering amen, it's not really better to answer amen. But most of the time, the one answering amen has more kavana. Is that the metzias? Most of the time, the person answering amen has more kavana than the person saying the bracha. What's the halach in Shulchan Aruch? When we do birchas hamazon, you have a whole group of people benching together. So how many people are really supposed to bench? Midina du Shulchan Aruch. Someone once said to me, I heard there's this rabbi who, well-known rabbi in the community, the Farakwa community, who does all sorts of weird things. He has his talmidim when they bench in yeshiva, that only one guy says the Birchas Hamazon for the whole yeshiva. So, and everyone else just listens. So I said, you know, I don't know if he does weird things or doesn't do weird things, but it's hard to call that one a weird thing. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what you're supposed to do. So why is it that one person says about everyone else listens, answers a main, and the Yotzi Birchas Hamazon? That's how there was always one Mivarech. If you read the Gemaras and the Rishonim, that was clear. That was always the assumption. So why did it change? Why do we all bench for ourselves nowadays? Because the assumption is, if you're listening, you're not really having Kavanah. You're not listening. That if you're going to sit there. So that's why this rabbi, this Rosh Yeshiva, does it in his yeshiva, because he says yeshiva bachrim should have the discipline. They don't have little kids that are running around or asking them for things. They don't have they're not running to work. They're not, so they should be able to focus. There's no television. There's nothing on. So they should be able to focus and they should be able to answer amen to the mivarech. But nowadays, where most situations where we're not able to focus, just someone else is being mivarech. I mean, think about it. What do people have more kavana in typically? Their silent Shmona Esrei or Chazar Sashatz? Chazar Sashatz is not even on the same planet usually. I mean, it's a very, right? I don't think I'm saying anything crazy, no? I mean, so the Meiri's assumption that when you're listening, you're going to have more kavana. Maybe he's assuming that when you're saying the bracha, you're worried about getting the words right. Maybe that's pronouncing it and how you're going to be heard and if you're saying it loud enough. Whereas when you're hearing it, you don't have to worry about any of that. You can just focus on what's being said. But he's assuming an incredible level of focus. That's what the Meiri suggests. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva. He says, he's asked the Shailim, the Tshuva's Rashba, Meima Amru Godolon Amen Yosemem Mavarich. Why is it that answering Amen is greater than saying the Bracha? So he says, the real answer is Ne'alam Lebalei Achachma. It's Kabbalistic. Don't know. However, Pashtus, he says, the simple answer might be is that the bracha is a hoda'ah, whereas the amen is an absolute confirmation of everything that was said. He said, the mashal nadav dome. You have someone writes a shtar, and then Edim sign on the shtar. Without the signature of the Edim are the most critical people, the most critical component, much more important than the sofer. They're the ones that are establishing everything that it says in the shtar. So the shtar lays out the groundwork of what's trying to be said, but the certification, that stamp of approval, that seal that you're looking for, that's the thing of greater value. So the Rashba says, maybe I'll be Pashtos, one can say like that. Rabbeinu Bachai is a similar idea, that if you have two Edim to testify about something, so the second aid is critical. Because with one aid, you can't do anything. Comes along the second aid, so he's the Makabe Patish, he makes it something of value. Now, the question is, how if we're going to say that answering Amen is in fact as great or greater than saying the Bracha, so how far do we take that? Meaning there are certain halachos about robbing someone of the opportunity to say a Bracha. Gemara Baba Kama talks about that. If you take away someone else's opportunity to say a bracha, you owe him money, asara zuhuvim, for the schar bracha that he lost out on. So there's a fascinating rush in Maseches Chulin, in the sixth paragraph of Maseches Chulin. If you look in source number six, the rush tells a story of seven. The rush tells a story of Rabbeinu Tam. The rush tells a story of Rabbeinu Tam. Where is it? Amalei, Maisa be'echad, third line toward the end of the line. Maisa be'echad, sha'amar le'moel, echad, she'imel spino kodem acher umalem. Oh, she'imel spino kama, v'kidem acher umalem. Someone hired a moel to do the bris mila. And then another moel comes in and does the bris instead. And he mals the baby. So imagine, you have a moel there, he's setting up his whole thing, he's got his bag and his thing, he's getting all set. And then another mole just runs right in front of him, Baruch Hashem, makes a bracha, and goes and does the mila. V'tava rishon shamar lo av lemolam min hasheni asar zuvim. So the first one, who's actually hired by the father, says, you owe me asar zuvim, because you robbed me of the opportunity to say a bracha. Says Rabbeinu Tam, pater. Upat Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't have to pay. Why? To amr perka chovel, de kol mi didas pechas ron kis, lo avdinu shlichusayu, v'afilum tavas mefkin minei, what did that first mo'el do when the second mo'el said the bracha? The second mo'el that just mugged him of the opportunity to do a mila, he said the bracha. You know what the first mo'el probably did? Said amen. Right? So he did just as good as saying a bracha. So he didn't lose anything. But maybe he didn't say amen. Maybe he said, well, what are you doing? Instead of saying amen. Maybe he was reacting. And if he didn't say amen, well, that's your problem. Just say amen when you hear a bracha. If he didn't say amen, that's his own problem, says Rabbi Natan. Unbelievable. So the Rabbi Natan seems to take this pretty literally. That saying amen is literally as good as saying the bracha. But it's not so pashut that that's true of every bracha. Meaning, what's all this amens that we have going on that people say, you know, I think one of the tshuvas svarim, I forgot which one, talks about that they used to have a minhag where in order to get people to say as many amens as possible, they would have amen groups. They would get people together and everyone would say all the brachas that they need to say and everyone else would answer amen. And some of the Achronim said, but that's silly. Meaning the point of answering amen is when you need to be yotzei bracha. That's when you have a chiyuv to answer amen. Otherwise, there's no real chiyuv. If you don't need to be yotzei bracha, then it's not really necessary. The Beis Yosef writes that let's say you hear someone making a bracha on an apple. You don't have a chiyuv to answer amen, the Beis Yosef says. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing. You don't have a chiyuv to answer amen. In Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas, he's bothered by that. Rav Shlomo Kluger's abbreviated tshuvas. Rav Shlomo Kluger has two sets of tshuvas. He has tshuvas, what are they called again? I forgot already. The long tshuvas, has many, many volumes. And then he has an abbreviated version that someone decided to do a favor to Klal Yisrael. Rav Shlomo Kluger has these long, difficult tshuvas that are tough to get through. So someone decided many, many years ago, if you could take 1,000 of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas and sort of condense them and summarize them in like a paragraph, and he published them called Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. So that's the much more famous Tshuva Sefer of Shlomo Kluger. Haraya, it's the name that I remember. The Tshuva Sefer Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo is 1,000 of Shlomo Kluger's Tshuvas summarized. So he quotes this Beis Yosef, and he says, V'tamua, to say that you don't have to answer Amen when someone says a Birch Sananin. He says, how could that be? What happened to the fact that Gadol Ona Amin Yosemei Mevarich? That it's better to answer Amin than say the Bracha. So if the Mevarich is chayiv to be Mevarich, then the Ona Amin should for sure be Mechuyav. Because if he's not Mechuyav, how could he be greater? What does he mean, if he's not Mechuyav, how could he be greater? The guy who's saying the Bracha has to say a Bracha. He's Mechuyav B'davar. So he's doing a mitzvah. If the guy who's answering Amin is not Mechuyav to answer Amin, he can't possibly be greater. Because we have a klal, Amarim Sech's Kiddushin, Gadol ha-mitzuva v'yose, yose mi-mishayin ha-mitzuva v'yose. That if you have two people, one person is commanded, one person is not commanded, the one who's commanded is doing a much greater thing than the one who's not commanded. So how could you say that saying amen is not a chova? If it's not a chova, then it can't be gadol, then it can't be greater than the mevarich. That's Rosh Hashanah Kluger's kasha. So Rosh Hashanah Kluger's mechalik as follows, in the sixth line of source number 8, v'yesh lomer, kavnaso kach, devaday habracha sha'adam uchiyuv levarich. Gon birchus ha-mitzvus u'chidoma, vaday ha-chiyuv lanos amein, rak, vaday ha-chiyuv lanos amein. If someone's making a bracha on a mitzvah, of course there's a chiyuv to answer amein. Rak al birchus ha-nanin, kivin dezein u'chiyuv, rak rishus. Vaya mevarich ba'atzum amein u'nanayin mevarich, rak al anasu mevarich. And even think about the guy that's eating the apple. Does he have to make a bar priyates? Not really, he doesn't have to eat an apple. He wants to eat an apple, he's going to have to make a bar priyates. So it's not even a chiyuv for him, really. So then it's not going to be a chiyuv to answer amen to such a bracha. And the guy who's listening to the bracha, he's not getting any anah from it. So why would he answer amen? So it doesn't make any sense for him to answer amen to the bracha. So that's how Rishlom Kluger deals with it. But what we see is that not all amens are created equal. When it's a mitzvah, especially a mitzvah that you're chayiv to do, so then there's a chayiv to answer amen. When it's not a mitzvah, it's just something that's birch sananin, then there's no chayiv. So Tzitz Eliezer was asked in the Chelek Yiral of Simon Beis, someone asked Tzitz Eliezer, should one try to say all the brachos out loud to be mezakeh people and being able to answer amen? And it wasn't an open and shut case. It wasn't so obvious that, of course, that's the best thing to do. Tzitz Eliezer was somewhat, he brought rayas from Achronim that, yeah, it's a nice thing to do. Sheyahader, Achar Shnayim, the Machzor Shekel says, try to find two people who will listen to your bracha and answer amen. And he quotes from Kabbalistic sources, and he quotes from Abbeinu Bechai, but it's not so obvious that a person has to do that to say the bracha out loud. I would think that saying the bracha out loud is more important for the mevarich. When a person says a bracha out loud, he can make sure that he's saying every word, because a lot of times when a person doesn't say a bracha out loud, he's not really saying it slowly enough to say every single word. Same is true with davening. If you're davening too fast that you're not able to say the words out loud, then you're probably not able to say the words quietly either. It's not like when you're audible that all of a sudden you become less fluent in the Hebrew language, right? If you're able to say the words out loud, then you're saying it probably at a reasonable pace. If you're not able to say the words out loud, then the pace you're at is probably not a reasonable pace, not a pace that that a person is able to keep up with. It's certainly true of davening, and I think it's true of a bracha as well. So Tzitz Eliezer goes through, he has a whole long tshuva, we're not going to go through the whole tshuva right now. He says that that based on Kabbalistic sources and other things, other somewhat esoteric sources, and based on Yerushalmi maybe, that it's better to say it out loud so that people will answer Amen. But certainly not a davar pashut. It's not one of the Ikari Amuna that every preschooler has to know, that they have to say a bracha out loud for people to answer Amen. Okay, it's not the worst thing in the world. This is not what we're gonna, you know, what we're gonna fight. Good if we get children to say brachas and to be proud of their brachas. It's a wonderful thing, but it's just not so obvious that that's required. Or that's even a ma'ilam. Now, the most interesting element of the sugya is when not to say Amen. I mean, whose brachas do we not say Amen? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, I put the Shulchan Aruch here somewhere. Yeah, in source number 9, Shulchan Aruch writes that in source number in Sif Aleph, Avalim Haya Mevarich Apikores Okuti Otinok. If the Mevarich is an Apikores, Okuti, or a Tinok, or it's a regular person that changes the text of the bracha, Ein onin achrav amen. You don't answer amen. Says the Ramah, va'un amen achraku amim shamakal bracha mipid. But you can answer amen. You can, yes, answer amen when it's a guy that says a bracha. But a child that says a bracha, you don't answer amen. An apikoris that says a bracha, you don't answer amen. So let's start with apikoris, because I think that's in a certain level the most fascinating. Also, we've discussed children before. So apikoris. If you look in the Bir Alachin, Dibra Maschil, Hamavarich Apikores. So the Bir Alachin, it's toward the top of page 6. Ayin Lel Simmem Bir Alachin, Dibra Maschil, Kassar Apikores, who pashut, that those people that are Einam Ma'aminim B'Dibrei Chazal, Him Kikutim Kodem Shagazra Lehem. He says the people who just don't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh, they have the status of Kutim before we ever made the Gezeira on them, where the Alach would be, Ditzarech Lana Sachreim Amen. So Bir Alach says, if you have someone who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh, you're allowed to answer Amen. Because Shamu Kol Brachim Piyam, as long as you heard the whole Bracha. As far as being Mitzari from Ta'adah Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha, probably not. But to answer Amen, that you're allowed to do. That's what the Bir Alach writes. Now, that's a pretty great Chiddush. Because someone who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh is an Apikores. It's, Rav Shechter had such a great Chiddush. I was talking to Rav Shechter on Wednesday, I was asking him about... Now, I always assumed, the Rambam writes, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, Islam is not Avodah Zarah, right? Mm-hmm. So I always assumed that, therefore, one is not allowed to go into a church, but one may go into a mosque. In fact, of Nevin Sal, I'm told, Paskins, that one is not allowed to destroy a mosque, because it has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. They daven to one and only God. So it's a monotheistic religion. So Rav Shechter said, no, Jews not allowed to go into a mosque, because it's a base of Avodah Zarah. I said, what do you mean the Rambam says not Avodah Zarah? Who says that Islam is not Avodah Zarah? He says, it's not Avodah Zarah for them, but for us, it's Avodah Zarah, because it's a denial of Torah Min HaShemayim. So any denial of Torah Min HaShemayim is Avodah Zarah for us. It's an interesting take, but that's necessarily Avodah Zarah for us, and therefore it would have the status of a base Avodah Zarah for us. It would change a lot of halachos and how to deal with Muslims. Meaning we wouldn't label them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah, because Klape them, it's a monotheistic religion, they're not doing Avodah Zarah. But for us, it would be Avodah Zarah. But anyway, so the Bir Alecha says that for Apikores, you're allowed to answer Amen. So Rav Moshe has a whole series of tshuvas, all about different situations of answering Amen when you're dealing with Reform people, with conservative rabbis, things of that nature. If you look in source number 20, for example, Ubeinyan La'aniach Rabbi Reformer. Rav Moshe has two ways of referring to rabbis. Orthodox rabbis are Rav, and conservative Reform rabbis are Rabbi. He writes, even though he's writing in Hebrew, he says the word Rabbi, because they're not a Rav, rabbi, that's their profession. Rabbi reformer. Lahagid bebirchas nisun tachas chuppah. They wanted to have a reform rabbi say a bracha under the chuppah. Hinei brachaso ein a klum mikivin shu kofer ve'etzlo heim kedvarim bi'alma ve'in lano samein al zeh. His bracha is worthless. He's a kofer, and therefore he can't answer amen on such a bracha.
Well, he doesn't say you can't make the bracha.
Well, I think that's understood that you wouldn't have to make the bracha because he's a kofer, so his bracha doesn't mean anything. Meaning, he's singing a song under the chuppah. He is saying words that are traditional in the religion, but it's not about belief in God. Now that's interesting. I would have thought, and I think we generally assume, it depends. If he believes in God and he's saying a bracha to God, so his bracha is a bracha, and he can answer amen, even if he's not bikaris. He doesn't believe in Torah min Hashemayim. He doesn't believe in, but he believes that there is a God, and he's saying a bracha to that God. So generally speaking, we assume that that you're allowed to say amen to such a bracha, and that such a bracha is okay. Is he kashal eidus? Absolutely not. So better to have him say a bracha than to be an eid. I think I once asked Rav Shachter about this. I have a Talmud who was getting married out of Masada Kiddushin. The problem wasn't me. The Talmud's family davened in a conservative shul. And they wanted to honor the conservative rabbi with one of the brachas under the chuppah, one of the shav brachas. So I asked Rav Shachter if that's okay. So Rav Shachter said that, if I recall correctly, I think he said that Rav Salvejik held it was okay. But he's not comfortable with it personally, because he views everyone who says a bracha under the chuppah as a co-officiant, that everyone is being Masada Kiddushin together. And he said, I would never want to co-officiate with a conservative rabbi, so I'm not comfortable with it. And then he said, but you can rely on Rav Salvejik if you think it's going to cause problems. You don't have to listen to me. That's what he said. Okay. Then Rav Moshe talks about, what about giving aliyos to people who are not Shomer Shabbos? So he says, Be'etzem Adin, a bracha of a kofer is not a bracha at all, and you're not allowed to answer amen. Again, repeating this idea, and when they're saying Melech HaOlam, they don't mean it. They don't mean that he's really Melech HaOlam, because Rav Moshe has an expression, Vavizek Kibbalo Shem HaMalchus, since they're not Machzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech HaOlam, even if they believe in God, but they're not machzik him as the Melech HaOlam, they don't believe in Torah Min Hashemayim and God's control of everything that happens in creation, so then it's like saying without Shema Malchus. Avlu davka b'kofrin, d'meinu b'kofr, sheyesh la amunu b'Hashem Yisbarach, achshu avaryan al yisurin, afal ha-shabbos ha-chamura, b'shvil parnasaso. Then he says, you know, we're going to have a problem. The Moshe writing in the earlier part of the 20th century in America, so there were a lot of people that were Orthodox Jews, davened in Orthodox shuls, and went to work on Shabbos. And they had a Yetzer Hara because it was they needed to make a living, and it wasn't the right thing, but that's what they did. A lot of people did that. So none of them are allowed to get aliyos. No, the Young Israel movement started having late minyanim on Shabbos morning. It used to be the minhag was to have earlier minyanim. One of the main points the Young Israel movement started with was 9 o'clock davening. That seems like such an avla, right? You can miss Man Kriyat Shema 3/4 of the time, 9 o'clock davening. Why did they do that? No, it was the Migdal Milsa. Because everywhere else they were davening early. Why were they davening early? So that everyone get to work. So the Migdal Milsa, they said, this is, and they would call shuls. What were the names of the shuls? Shomrei Shabbos. Shomrei Shabbos. That was the name of the shuls. You know why that was the name of the shuls? Because those were the shuls where people were actually Shomrei Shabbos. Everywhere else, people were running to work. An unbelievable thing. So Moshe says, I'm going to say that you're not allowed to give such a person an aliyah. He says, no, such a person is just doing it because of his taivos. And so his bracha is a bracha. And you have to answer amen after such a bracha. So he says, lemaisa, le'ilu akofer mamish en likra l'tor li'olam. If someone is mamish akofer, you should never get an aliyah to the Torah. And even if you want to say that he's a tinuk shenishba, I'll call Padam Kimashin Maminim, you know, like Rav Chaim, the quote from Rav Chaim, Nebuch Nabikiris is still Nabikiris. You know, if you say Nebuch, he was never educated. If he's Nabikiris, he's Nabikiris. He doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in God. But if you're dealing with someone who believes in God, but just says Taivas to do Averos, so that's a different story, Rav Moshe says. And then in one last tshuva, in source number 22, Hinei B'dvar Rabbis Shal HaReformer Va'Conservativin. Shabbayim lefam b'Shabbos l'beis haKnesset shel Yehudim k'sherim. Sometimes you have reformed conservative rabbis before they go to their job, I guess, to be in their shuls, in their temples. They'll come and daven like a mensch in an Orthodox shul. Im rashan the cross of the Torah. Can you give them an aliyah? Who davar pashat shiver kriya the Torah aser be'etzem? The kriya the Torah bracha lufan el achreha. They can't because you need a bracha or brachas mein klum ben elan san achreha mein. And he refers you to his other tshuvos. But he says, then he goes on to say, Aval af l'shar kvodei kedusha de beis haknesses, kahagbo galila votsa v'achnasa psichas uskiras ha'aron, af shein ben iser be'etzem shein ben bracha. He says, you can't say that it's usser to do all these other things, hagbo galila, psicha, because there's no bracha. Aval in l'chabid l'kofrim be'inyanei kedusha shekofrim behem. Why does it make sense to be mechabed a person who's a kofer in matters of kedusha when he's kofer in those very matters of kedusha? He thinks this is all silly. These are old customs that people do. He doesn't believe in the service of God at all, and you can have him do those things. And therefore, it's aser. Why is it aser? It's chanifa. One is not allowed to falsely flatter a person. So it's as if you're telling them, oh, you're roi for this kibbut, but he's not roi for this kibbut. So Moshe takes a strong stance. Unless there's a tzorach gadol, a person should not be mechabed, even in these lesser kibbut. Well, it's tzorach gadol, just don't give him an aliyah. If it's a tzorach, he's going to be a big donor to the shul, Rav Moshe says, or it's going to cause machlokas otherwise, still don't give him an aliyah, but then you can give him psich. Then you could give him Hagbar Galila or something like that. So that's the issue with an apikoros. Now, when the Gemara says also you're not allowed to answer,
you have somebody come to shul that's not, you don't know. In other words, somebody comes, obviously he's not from.
So Moshe was not talking about someone who's not from. He's talking about someone who's a conservative or reformed rabbi.
Well,
which means that they buy into the movement, which is the movement is built on a denial of Torah and Hashemai.
Right, okay.
But you have someone who's not from, who doesn't know any better, so he says you still have to worry, because if he's Nebuch Napikoros, he's still a Napikoros, meaning if he doesn't believe in God, so, and it's not just, he says even a Tinuk Shanishban, but if he doesn't believe in God, even though he was never educated properly to believe in God, so the bracha, when he says, Baruchat Hashem El Kenu Melech Olam, he doesn't really mean Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. So you can't answer Amen if he doesn't mean the words that he's saying in his bracha. A lot of times, though, you'll have people who know, and they do believe in God, and they just are Balei Taiva, and therefore they're Mechal Shabbos, and they don't keep kosher, they don't keep anything. But they believe in God. They're very spiritual even. So Mestama, such a person, he's doing terrible things, but you're allowed to answer Amen, because his bracha is really to... The thing with the bracha, it's not like Eidos. By Eidos, a person's possible Eidos if he either steals or he can be bought in any way, meaning he's someone who would compromise principles for money and has shown that he's willing to do that, like a gambler or something like that, or if he's violated an avera that Yechayv... He regularly violates an avera that Yechayv Malkus or worse for. Not if he's once violated an avera that Yechayv Malkus. If he regularly violates avera that Yechayv Malkus or worse, that's psula eidos. So just an avarian would be psula eidos. But when it comes to a bracha, to allowing someone to say a bracha, he just has to believe in God. That's all we need. Rav Moshe's chiddush is not so much in that in that halacha, meaning that seems clear, everyone would agree with that. It's just how he defines non-believers. Meaning he's willing to say that every conservative rabbi is automatically a non-believer, doesn't believe in God, or doesn't believe in Melech HaOlam. I don't know. I never gave a bechina. I don't know if I would if they would tell me the truth. I don't know. I don't know. But Rav Moshe seems to be taking a very strong stance in something like that. But the halach is clear. If they don't believe in God, then you can't say amen. They shouldn't say a bracha, because their bracha doesn't mean anything. Like I said, Rav Shachter thought and Rav Soloveitchik thought that they can, that a conservative rabbi who does believe in God can say a bracha, and you could assume that he does believe in God. He may not believe in Torah and Hashemayim, and that every word of the Torah is that the way it was given. He may be an apikoros, but if he believes in God, he's allowed. And a lot of conservative rabbis, certainly used to be, people who believe in everything. But they were like the people who went to work on Shabbos. That was their way to make a parnasa. So if their parnasa was being a conservative rabbi, so that was their parnasa. So it would be just like what Rav Moshe is describing is the people who used to work on Shabbos. Another issue is the Amen Yisoma. The Gemara says you can't answer Amen if you didn't hear the bracha. So the kasha that everyone asks, the Rishonim will ask, is Gemara in Sukkah talks about the Beis Knesset Shel Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. It had like over a million people in the shul, and you can never hear. So they would just imagine they didn't break up until like a million shtiblach. They built that big. It was like Young Israel Woodmere times a lot, and they would, and even that's already six shuls. So they would, so they would wave flags for everyone to answer Amen. They would wave a flag, and then everyone would know to answer Amen. How could you answer Amen? You didn't hear the bracha. So two basic approaches in Rishon. Rabbi Yonah says they weren't answering Amen to brachas that they needed to be yotze with. You're right. A bracha you needed to be yotze with, you would not be allowed to answer Amen. That's hard to understand. What do you mean? They were in shul. They didn't need to be yotze with those brachos. Very difficult. Second, Rashi and Tosfos suggest that when the flag was waved, they could be confident that the bracha was said. And as long as you know for sure the bracha was said and the bracha was finished and completed, you can answer Amen. When we say that you can't answer Amen when you didn't hear the whole bracha, it's because you have to be afraid that the whole bracha wasn't said. But over here, you had trustworthy people waving those flags, so they knew that it was okay. So what's the lumdus of the machlokas? Rav Salvechik suggests in his Rishim HaShiurim and Masech HaShavuos, Rabbi Reichman Sefer of Rav Salvechik's Torah, he says, when you answer Amen, what's happening? Is it that by answering Amen, the bracha now becomes your bracha? And you are latching on to the bracha that was said? Or is it when you answer Amen, it's ki'ilu, in that one word, you're repeating the whole bracha? That in that one word, you're saying the whole bracha. See, if you say that you're just latching on to the bracha, let's say Rabbeinu Yonah holds that you're joining in the bracha that was said, so you have to hear it. Not hearing it isn't good enough. Knowing that it was said is not good enough, because you're trying with your Amen to connect to that bracha. So that only works if you know that, if you actually heard that there was a bracha. But Rashi and Tosfos assume that the Amen itself, the word itself, once there was a bracha recited, Amen is like the whole bracha in a microcosm. It's like the whole bracha in miniature. So when you say that Amen, it didn't matter whether you actually heard the bracha, as long as the bracha was said, and you know that a bracha was said, then your Amen is your repeat of that bracha. It's ki'ilu, you're saying the whole bracha over again. So that's how he explains the lamdus in that machlokas. As far as the bracha of, we have a couple of minutes. As far as the bracha of a child, so the poskim, even though it's beferish and shulchan aruch, you're not supposed to answer amen to the bracha of a child when it was not higia l'chinuch yet. That's really the not every child. It's a child who's not higia l'chinuch yet. That one is not supposed to answer amen. But the poskim look for kulas over here because you know, a kid comes home. He's 4 years old from preschool. He's not higia l'chinuch. And he says these brachas, and the parent's not going to answer Amen. It's like the kid will get insulted, he'll start to cry, or he'll think that you're not supposed to answer Amen. So they say in Halicha Shlomo, they said Shlomo Zalman used to fake it. He used to say Amen, and wouldn't pronounce the Nun, and because he was choshish for that halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Others say that no, you're allowed to for chinuch purposes. You're being mechanech him and answering Amen by saying Amen. Okay, you have to come up with some cooler or something. So.